Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
WWL quickly to Simone Malaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. I don't like to interrupt anybody, but when people come on and they start using acronyms or words and just breezing through something, it would sound nice and clean if I didn't interrupt and find out what they were talking about, but it would be meaningless. It would be white noise. There would be no communication. So for those of you texting in, thanking me for trying to make it understandable, I appreciate the kind words. Simone Malaz, I presume you were listening to Gordon Dove just now?
Oh, I heard every word, Tommy. Thank you.
All right. The floor is yours. He said that you were lying when you said that, or you would be lying if you said we would lose $2.2 billion. I guess we'll start there.
Yeah, let's definitely start there, Tommy. I grew up in Houma. I live in Jefferson, and I'm raising two kids here, and I care about this coast. I have been working on coastal issues for 20 years, and to call me out and say that I'm being dishonest along with the other ways that they've called out other people that are fighting for this coast, you know, that we have a saying in our house, Tommy, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely willing to talk through those facts with you right now.
So let's talk about the original, and I'm just going to go to some of the questions I asked Gordon, and you can give me your answer. I asked him about, directly, if the BP oil spill had not happened, this money would not have been available, that the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion never would have happened. And then he went back to this, or started with, the core study in 2005 that talked about 2,500 to 15,000 cubic feet per second with long-distance dredging, or whatever the word was he used. Mm-hmm. To talk about that, if you will, and the accuracy of that, in your
sure.
opinion.
Yes. Sure. So this does date back all those years. So this goes back to prior to Katrina. There's the Louisiana Coastal Area Study where they were studying a suite of restoration options. And then, Tommy, you know this, the world changed here in Louisiana, especially for Katrina and Rita, and there was a terrible amount of devastation. Then we had, you know, we had Katrina, Rita, Ike, Gustav. Then we had the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. And so, but going back to what Chairman Dove was mentioning about 2007, that was a shortened study in 2007, and the state did pick up that Myrtle Grove project to continue studying it.
What is the Myrtle Grove project?
So it is a reintroduction of the river as well in that area, of course, around Myrtle Grove. And that was always part of coastal master plans. And so I respect Chairman Dove for his time in the legislature. And during that time, there were coastal master plans approved that had those reconnections to the river, including this idea of Mid-Barataria or Myrtle Grove. Something, one of those, they used to have multiple reconnections to the rivers, uppers, middles, and lowers, and they honed in on this specific area in Plaquemines Parish. But Tommy, I really want to reiterate how much that basin has changed and how much Louisiana's coast has changed even in that short amount of time. So in 2005, we had Katrina, Rita. Right after that, we had Ike, Gustav. We had a devastating oil spill that exacerbated the loss on our coast. That hurt us, obviously, which is why we got this money, Tommy. This money is tied to the damages that happened because of the oil spill. And we have to be able to, the projects we put in place have to be tied to that damage. And I want to be clear that the money is for restoration in Louisiana. It is not for the government of Louisiana. It is not for CPRA. It is to Louisiana. And we do understand through the preliminary damage assessment, which happened when they had the oil spill, there was a consent decree that outlined all those parameters of how that money can be spent. And there are questions about if that money can go to anything to that has to do with the health of the northern Gulf of Mexico or just to Louisiana, the geography itself. But just to be clear, it does not belong to the government of Louisiana.
And I'm trying to make this like a math equation so I can understand it. Are you saying that the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion came about and is directly designed to offset specific damages caused by the BP oil spill, or am I wrong?
Yes. Yes, they had to prove that through an extensive process. Chairman Dove outlined that, how long they studied this project. 10 years, 6 years to get a permit. I want to mention that the permit was under an accelerated process as part of the first Trump administration. So this has gone through, including through the master planning process, multiple governors of different parties, and multiple presidents of different parties. And so that's how long this has been studied and how long this has been looked at. There are thousands of people that worked and probably touched on this study for Mid-Barataria, including public comment. And Tommy, that's one thing that I want to be sure to reiterate with you, is when Chairman Dove and the state talks about these alternatives that are being developed, they're talking about going back to Myrtle Grove. Why is there not a public process for that? Why is that different than the 10 years we had to study, the 6 years to get the permit? Why are we not part of this discussion? And why are we only hearing about it in legislative hearings or through the media? This project is
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
For the health and the future of Louisiana, and we should know about it.
Let me get to the money part of this again, because I'm trying to understand it. The $2.2 billion, he said, would be lost. Then, and let me get back to that in a second, but he also talked about the price of the money, price of the project going from $750 million, $1.5 billion, $2.1, $2.8, now up to $3.1. He said at $2.8 billion, we're out of BP money. So tell me about the $2.2 billion that he's talking about. Would the state or the money be lost or not? And what happens after $2.8 billion with the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion?
Yeah, so let's start unpacking the money. They have spent over $500 million at least right now on the project, because remember, the project was under construction when they hit this pause a year or so ago. They also had all of the money in place when they broke ground in August of 2022.
How are you defining all of the money, Simone?
So they had to get these permissions, Tommy. They had to go to NIFWIF, which is related to the criminal damages for the oil spill. And then they also had to go to the trustees that are responsible for overseeing the natural resource damage. So that permit process was one thing. And in parallel, there was another process just to get the money approved because it had to connect to the injury, and it had to be, we had to be able to prove, we had to prove that this project should be, it is worthy, if you will, of spending those oil spill dollars on that project.
So when you said it was approved, how much money was approved at that point?
Right. So the contract itself is about $2 billion, and then they did have that mitigation money, and we haven't talked about that enough, that the mitigation dollars that were tied to the project that were for these communities and for the fisheries were also attached to that project. And then, of course, they had to purchase land, there's insurance, and there was a high, you know, there was a big contingency built into that. And so that's where you get closer to the $3 billion number. There was a contract signed with the big construction manager at risk firm, the one firm that was closer to $2 billion. And then, of course, they have almost 100 subcontractors that are part of that agreement. So going back to the money, Tommy, a little bit for the mitigation dollars, that's one thing that also goes away without this project.
Tell me what mitigation dollars are, Simone, for people that don't know.
Yes. Right. So when we went through this extensive study for years and we got the permit, a condition of the permit or tied to this permit is the fact that you have to have these dollars set aside for impacts. And the two kind of biggest buckets are the community, and that's for places like Myrtle Grove, Happy Jack. These are all names you know from your parish. Mm-hmm. They had community mitigation tied to those areas, and then, of course, for the fisheries themselves. And a lot of this community are already experiencing impacts from high water. We were just down there earlier this week. They had a high river, they had a southwest wind, water was high already. So this money was set aside for this project, but it was really money that's needed for that community today and for those communities and that industry today. So that's something we don't talk about enough as well, is that money that was going directly to these communities, to the people in the parish, and to that specific fishing industry. And it wasn't just oysters or shrimp. There were other things as well. But that was all part of the process. That's not money we had to go to D.C. and ask for. That was tied to this process. And so when we talk about the money already spent, I think there's a big question out there. Of the $500 million that they already spent, how much more will they need? They've asked the contractor to demobilize from the site. And then what happens with this mitigation money? It goes away, but that does not make the needs of the community go away.
So what happens to, let me go back a second. $2.8 billion, Gordon Dove said you were out of money, out of BP money at that point. As far as affordability, sustainability of the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, how much is it supposed to cost as of now? And what about maintaining it with
Good question.
Whatever?
Yes. So let's go back to that. So in part of coastal Louisiana, any project, it could be a levee project, it could be a restoration project, it could be this diversion project, does have an O&M cost, operations and maintenance. That is, and you should, right? You should set, if you buy a new car, you should make sure that you have enough money, not just to pay the note, but to also be able to change the oil and the tires, et cetera. So that is part of every coastal restoration project. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to protection projects, those are taxpayer dollars. We just spent a lot of time talking about how Mid-Barataria is Deepwater Horizon dollars, not tax dollars. But a lot of times, these projects can be tax dollars that are part of the cost share, also part of the O&M. Tommy, that's something that we have been paying for a long time in coastal Louisiana, is the O&M on these projects. Chairman Dove mentioned that he had a report from an engineer that said an annual cost would be $50 to $120 million. Mm-hmm. We want to see that report. We want to ask about that. We've heard that the Old River Control Structure annual, which is the split where, you know, some goes down the Atchafalaya and some goes down the Mississippi River, their annual O&M cost, I think, is $10 million. Mm-hmm. So how are we getting, we want to know how you got to a $50 to $120 million annual cost for that. I'll also say that, you know, again, as part, if we're going to build these projects here in coastal Louisiana, we should think about the O&M, but we need to be reasonable about estimating those costs, where that money comes from, and we can't have a protection loan system. We have to protect the protection, and the best way to do that, to protect these coastal communities, is through restoration projects.
We're about out of time, Simone, but let me just ask this and wrap it up this way. I don't know. I honestly don't. Gordon knows the stuff. You know this stuff. You know, acronyms for, and people are texting me saying thanks for breaking down the acronyms because they don't know what the hell anybody's talking about. Why can't you and our CPRA and the Restore the Mississippi River Delta and everybody get together in the same room and do it in public, televise it or whatever, and just have it out and say, okay, this is what this shows, this is what that shows, this is the best thing? Because all I want is to keep the coastline. I don't want to hurt anybody, but I want to make sure that the state is still here and the coast is still viable for my kids to grow up and grandkids, et cetera. So take me through that real quick in the minute that we have left.
Same thing, Tommy. I started my conversation by saying that, and I'll end my conversation by saying that too. I want the same thing. I want a viable future here in coastal Louisiana. I want to protect these coastal communities. I want to have a sportsman's paradise, and I want my kids to love the same place that I love. We want, if you have, Chairman Dove keeps talking about all these reports, this information, and the fact that he's, you know, corresponded with the Corps of Engineers, 4 letters and 2 meetings. Share that information with us. There should not be a separate process right now than the one that it took for us to get to this decision. Share that information with us right now. Share those letters. Share that engineering report. We want to see the same things that they're seeing.
I thank you. I would love to get both of you together in the studio at the same time. I'll give you an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever we need, because I think it is that important. It is that big of a project, and it's that important to the state. So, you know, Jordan will talk to you, and we'll see what we can work out. Gordon Dove, Chairman, Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, on the first half hour. If you want to go back and listen to that, you can use the Odyssey app and use the rewind feature. Simone Malaz, Campaign Director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. All I know is it seems like we're fiddling while Rome burns. 9:55, back in a flash, WWL.